people are doing that, but he's saying that's the argument for the amendment, that people are fishing and discarding, and so they won't be able to do that with observers on board. But then he's making, but then this argument makes another leap that says, okay, the data going into the model is not representative because of this factor. It doesn't account for this alleged behavior that may be going on. But then he makes another leap, then there's another leap that's made that says, and no one fishes any differently when they get observers on board. They all fish exactly the same way as they did beforehand. So in essence, you're kind of taking the model and saying, we don't believe the input data to the model because the argument is being made that the input data are not representative of how fishermen are actually fishing. And then on the other hand, we're saying nobody's going to change the way they fish when we put observers on board. And so I don't know that, you know, inputting some assumption on how much discarding is going on now that will now be tracked going forward really solves the underlying problem, which is that, you know, can the model accurately capture both sides of this? You run into that problem. In one respect, the way of looking at this is you're just trading one assumption that may or may not be accurate for another assumption that may or may not be accurate as you're going forward. I don't know how useful this would really be because it changes one problem for another problem.
I apologize, but with all due respect, I didn't fill the EIS with all of the analysis that has these claims up to 10-fold increase. I'm not saying that, right? So the reason we're going to from 31%, which is deemed to be totally inadequate, 50% totally inadequate, 75% totally inadequate. I didn't put that stuff in the document. So the reason we're going to 100% is to eliminate that. So the theory of missing catch is all documented by the PDT in the document. I didn't put that there. So what we're saying is that the nation should know what's the impact to the fishery, right? Under those different assumptions is all we're saying. In the end, it may be what you have to vote for, right? And we may be the ones supporting it, right? Maybe we got to take a hit in revenue. But this is fake to say that there's no hit in revenue. That's, you can't on the one hand load the document with, this is the reason why we're going to these extraordinary lengths to manage this fishery, and then say, and by the way, guys, you'll actually profit more if we give you 5% back. I mean, I can't support what I see here. It's not logical. It kind of scares me that it is. I thought that would be a common sense way to proceed, but it's indicative of the last 3 years.
Dr. Cornane.
So the plan development team spent some time thinking about the magnitude of the discard problem for a Gulf of Maine cod, and we actually, you know, pushed the envelope on the 10 times that's been thrown out, and we actually came up with something lower than that. And so I encourage you to take a look at our analysis called Magnitude of Potential Missing Gulf of Maine Cod Discards, which was very much a thought experiment. We looked at previous year's landings and looked at the ratio of those compared to current prevailing conditions of the fishery, and we came up with a multiplier much lower than 10, things that range between 2 and 3, and we talk about that in the document. So I think some of that work has evolved over the past few months, so I encourage you to take a look at where we left off on it.
I did see that thing.
Thank you. Anybody else in the audience to the motion? Seeing none, back to the council. Attorney Etrie.
I have a comment, but first I have a question. For the Gulf of Maine cod thought experiment Jamie just was highlighting, I just want to be clear, that was not one of the analysis that was peer-reviewed, correct?
This was not. So that was actually sort of one of the outcomes from the peer review, was that the peer review encouraged continued exploration to try to understand the magnitude of missing catch through unreported discards. So as Jamie explained, this was sort of a PDT thought exercise to try to get some understanding of the bounds. What is 10% or 10 times a reasonable amount? Is it 2 times? What exactly would be a realistic kind of an upper bound for potential missing discards through unreported catch? So that's why the PDT sort of embarked on that analysis and to try to provide a little more context for that.
Jenny Etri.
Thanks for that. It's good to know that. Thanks for that. So I've highlighted before that I don't plan on voting to approve the DEIS. I think the exchange that just occurred right now kind of highlights some of what I do believe are flaws in this document, and I do believe will make going out to public comment very challenging. You know, we've said it time and time again, this is an industry-funded program. It's not, wow, the agency has millions of dollars, so let's just go high and figure out that when the money runs out, we'll all have cameras. This is, in fact, an industry-funded program, and this analysis is not helping industry understand what the true cost of this program will be. I think that there are ways, innovative ways, we could be looking at this, and there are ways that could help influence the true selection and comments on preferred alternatives. I agree with Vito that I think the way that revenue is static in this document is a flaw, and I can't support moving this forward for public comment or approving this DEIS as written. And I just think that, you know, we're setting up a situation where we're fooling ourselves into thinking that the money's there, so why not? And I will just remind folks to go back, as I did a few months ago, to what started this amendment. And this amendment started not because of Carlos Rafael, but because sectors in the middle of the fishing year were faced with the reality that they were going to have to pay for monitoring. They couldn't afford it. And the driver for that monitoring coverage was going to be a rebuilt stock. So, you know, I understand that there have been improvements with EM and whatnot, but it hasn't changed the fact that this industry cannot afford monitoring at the levels that folks are talking about. This document doesn't capture the true impacts of those costs. And we can talk about accuracy and precision, but we can't lose sight of the fact that part of the purpose of this amendment is to minimize the cost to industry. So I won't be voting this forward. And I do think that folks have to seriously think about the comments about static revenue in this document when you're considering if this document is appropriate to go out for public comment.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in the council? Seeing none, we'll call the vote. All in favor, signify by raising their hand. Those opposed? Those abstaining? Motion passes 14-3 with no abstentions. Chairman Stock, will that conclude the business of the Groundfish Committee?
Almost. I just want to cycle back to my opening remarks and give a big shout out to our Groundfish staff and the PDT. I know you how much work you've done, and it's very much appreciated. So with that, there's no further business from the Groundfish Committee.
Great. Thank you very much. What I thought is it's 4 o'clock, if we did a little bit of other business, if there are matters, and then work through if there's huge ones, we'll stop it. But I thought we could get that done. Briefly.